Well, tonight I'd like to discuss the question, what does it mean to be a friend? And friendship is one of those areas of life that I think we all want to have friends, and we all want to be a friend to other people. And it's nice when we have good friends because we can talk to good friends, and friendship is important for our mental health, and it's important for our spiritual health. And sometimes it's important for our physical health as well. And we want to be friends with one another, and we should want to be friends with just about everyone we meet. But friendship is something that the Bible discusses, and it's something that I'd like for us to consider this evening. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17, we read, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." What is this verse telling us? Well, one of the things it's saying is that friendship doesn't depend upon circumstances, but rather it's a decision. If I want to be a friend to somebody, then I'm going to make a decision to do that, and I'm going to be a friend to them as long as I can stick by, and I'm going to stick by that. And that friendship persists both through the good times and the bad. It doesn't mean, however, that friendship can't be broken, but it should take a lot to break a friendship. Well, how can we be better friends to one another as Christians? And how can we be better friends to those who are in the world around us? You know, there's a lot of people in the world who are looking for friends, and they don't think they have any friends. And I have seen some people just really take a tremendous courage from simply telling them, "You are my friend." And when you tell them that and they hear that, they really appreciate it. And that draws you together. And so we want to be friends with other people. We want to practice sometimes what's called friendship evangelism. And friendship evangelism is the idea of going out and talking to your friends about the message of the gospel, about Jesus, about his plan for our salvation. But in order to practice friendship evangelism, we've got to actually be friends with other people. And I'm not talking about tonight, when I'm talking about friendship, I'm not talking about acquaintances, okay? I'm not talking about just somebody that I happen to know in the community that I've known for many, many years, even, perhaps. But I only have this sort of surface level relationship with them. We all have people in our lives like that, where we have these surface level relationships. But I'm talking about wanting deeper relationships with people and having a true friendship where you can actually sit down and talk to somebody about things, and that they will listen, and that they can talk back to you about things, and that you can have a real relationship there and not just a surface level relationship. My desire is to have a real relationship with everyone who comes into my life. Now, sometimes that happens, and sometimes it doesn't, not necessarily because I don't desire it, but because maybe somebody else doesn't desire it, and that's fine. But what do we do when we, what is friendship about? And how does the Bible discuss friendship? Well, I'd like for us to think about four things tonight in relationship to friendship. First of all, that we were made for friendship. To be a friend means understanding that friendship is part of God's creation. Secondly, that friendship is founded on the good. And we'll get into what that means, but that in order to be a friend, we've got to understand what is good. And then third, friends are, to a degree, independent from one another. It takes an independent-minded person to be a true, real friend. And then finally, we're going to see that friendship is generous. And a friend is going to be somebody who is generous with us, with their time, with their resources, and with all of the things that they have. So let's look at this lesson tonight on friendship. First of all, what does it mean to be a friend? To be a friend means understanding that friendship is part of God's creation. God created humanity to have friendship. We are created for friendship. Think about Genesis 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him." Now I know this was talking about Adam's wife, Eve, but husbands and wives should be friends. And if God made husbands and wives for companionship and that man should not be alone, friendship should exist there. If friendship doesn't exist between husbands and wives, then there's some problems going on that need to be addressed. But the idea that God created mankind for friendship is implied in this verse. He doesn't want us to be alone. He wants us to have friends. He wants us to have good relationships with other people who are around us. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, we see the gospel is for friendship as well. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the, let's look at this word, fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we talk about fellowship a lot as being a part of what it means to be a Christian and to have a good relationship with people in the church. But you know, the idea of fellowship, it really implies the idea of friendship as well. It's the notion that here is a group of people that you can get along with, that you can love unreservedly, that you can participate with in all their activities. And what is that, if not friendship, to a degree? And so God created us for friendship. He created the world originally for friendship, and He created the church for friendship. And Jesus Christ redeemed us for friendship. Think about what He says here in John 15, verse 14. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." And when we do what Christ commands, not only are we Christ's friends, but we are friends with one another as well, because we have that common ground upon which we are established. In John 15, 15, the very next verse, Jesus says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." And so Christ calls us friends, and He is our friend. We are His friends if we do what He commands, and He is our friend because He has revealed the things of the Father to us. You see, that tells us a little bit about what friendship is. It's personal. It's deep. It is more than just surface level casuality. Just more than just acquaintanceship. Friends ought to get along well and be able to talk to one another. Jesus Christ redeemed us for friendship. And then the church exists for friendship as well. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12 we read, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all of the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Now think about that for a minute. If you think about your body, if your hand was not friendly with your head, then it might tear into it, right? But the body is at peace with itself, at least in a healthy body, and it's friendly, right? My hand is friendly with my big toe. I hope it is, especially when I have a hammer in it, right? And so we, as the body of Christ, are to be friends with one another. And certainly we are family with one another. And family ought to be friends as well. Galatians 3 verses 26 through 28 says, "For you all sons of God or children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now look, here's the friendship. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We're one in Christ Jesus, and that makes us friends with one another. We don't let the things that divide the world divide us. Well, what kind of things divide the world? Nationality, status in society, gender, all of those things. Those things don't divide us as Christians. We are one with one another. We are friends with one another. And the church exists for friendship. So to be a friend means understanding that friendship is part of God's creation. It's part of His physical creation, and it's part of His spiritual creation as well. But then secondly, to be a friend means understanding that friendship is founded or established on the good, on that which is good. When we think about what is good, we're talking about right versus wrong. You know, true friendship means treating each other in a right way. Think about Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 11. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Well, what does that mean? It means that those who are trying to do what is right, those who are trying to do what is good, the king is going to be their friend. They're not going to be in trouble with the friend. They're not going to be enemies with the friend. And why is that? Or with the king. And why is that? Because they are trying to do what is right and good within their life. In Job 6 and verse 14, you remember Job's friends who came there and started questioning him and verbally, denigrating him for things that he hadn't done within his life when he was sick and when he was afflicted. Listen to what Job said. To him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. So even in the case where someone is not faithful to the Lord, when he's afflicted, kindness should be shown to them. Why is that? Because a friend will do that. A friend does what is right and what is good to their friends. And friendships depend upon us treating each other in a right way. But we ask the question, who sets the standard of right and wrong? And of course, God is the one who sets that standard. In Psalm 119, verse 63, we read, I am a companion, and you could put the word friend here in this context, of all who fear you, and of those who keep your precepts. In other words, if we have as our standard God's will and God's law, then we are going to be friends with just about anyone who desires to follow God's will within their life. I'm a companion of all of them. I'm a friend of all of them. Why? Because we are acting on the same standard. I know that someone who fears God, someone who's going to keep the Lord's precepts, is going to act in a certain way. And so that means that I can be a friend with them. And that is a good thing. In Psalm 45 and verse 7, this is a messianic prophecy, by the way, about how the Messiah would be. It says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And the idea here is that the Messiah was going to do what was righteous all the time. And he was then going to set the standard for what was right so that the God would love him more than all of his companions, even though the Messiah had companions. And his companions were his friends, as we just noted a few moments ago. And so a friendship is founded on the good, and the standard of good is God. But then finally, we want to note this, that friendship is broken when we do wrong to one another. And remember, the standard of right and wrong is God. So our friendships shouldn't be broken based upon our own whims. That wouldn't be right. Our friendship shouldn't be broken based upon our own little petty offenses that we take with things that happen occasionally. But it should be based upon the will of God and God's word. And that's what Paul discusses here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. We don't want to be friends with people who are going to draw us away from God and His will. Be not deceived, he says. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. And so if there are those within our life who are evil and who are practicing evil, we don't want to be associating with them on a regular basis. Now, what does that mean as far as friendship goes? Well, it means that that friendship is going to be limited, that we're not going to be able to participate in everything that they participate in. And the few things that we may participate in, we're going to have to keep an eye open for what's going to take place there, and that's not going to be a very deep friendship. That may be more like an acquaintance thing. In Proverbs 12 and verse 26, it says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." In other words, there may be some that you're just going to say, you know what, I'm not going to be friends with him, or I'm not going to be friends with her, because of the wickedness that is being practiced within those individuals' lives. Now, it's not that we don't desire or want to be friends with everyone. Certainly, a Christian should desire to be friends with just about everyone and be friendly with everyone. But it's that the behavior of others will limit those desires. And so we should choose our friends carefully in that regard. Why? Because friendship is founded on the good. But then third this evening, we see that true friendship is independent. True friendship is independent. To be a friend means understanding that friendship is, to a certain degree, independent. And what do I mean by independent? Well, I mean that there's a certain amount of, you know, when you're a friend with somebody, it doesn't mean that you have to do everything that they do. It doesn't mean you have to like everything that they like. It doesn't mean that they have to like everything you like. It doesn't mean that they have to do everything you do. There is a measure of independence between friends, and that is a good thing. You know, sometimes friendships can become unhealthy because of what's called in psychology is codependence, where a person gets so dependent upon another person, and then that is an unhealthy relationship, because then you end up enabling bad behaviors in that other person. That's not the kind of friendship that God wants. There needs to be a certain amount of independence there. And there needs to be independence of thought for many reasons. Let's look at some of those things. Well, first of all, true friendship doesn't depend upon wavering circumstances. Again, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. What happens if your friend goes broke? Are you going to still be a friend with them? What happens if your friend has a bad day and lays into you for one reason or another? Are you still going to be friends with them? What happens if there's some other circumstance? Now, I'm not talking about the difference between right and wrong here. I'm not talking about somebody asking you to do something that's wrong. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the vagaries of life, you know, and how life can be uncertain and things can change. Are we going to continue to be friends regardless of what happens in our friend's life, or maybe what happens in our life? I would hope that we would. And I would hope that we would be independently minded enough not to allow certain things that occur in life to affect our friendship. Notice Proverbs 19 and verse 4, and the way I'm looking at this verse is this, that this is how a lot of people in the world act, you know, and the wise man is here kind of commenting on the way that the world interprets friendship in this verse. He says, "Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend." And what does that mean? What it means is that when you have money, a lot of people want to be your friend, right? But when you're poor, not too many people want to be your friend. And why is that? Because there's a lot of people out there who are not independently minded. They're attached to something. They're attached to wealth, or they're attached to something that they desire out of friendship, as opposed to what God wants out of friendship. And so, but true friendship doesn't depend upon circumstances. True friendship also challenges us to improve. And here's where being independently minded comes into play as well in friendship. In Proverbs 27 and verse 17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Well, what is this talking about? Well, when you take iron to iron and you start sharpening it, what are you going to get? You're going to get sparks. You're going to get heat. You're going to get fire, you know. And that's, you know, friends can do that to each other. They can criticize each other with good intent. And that criticism can be taken well. They can help one another to be refined. They can shape ideas in such a way so that those ideas become better and that things are taken well when criticism is offered. Why? Because they see each other as friends to begin with and not as competitors or enemies or adversaries or something like that. Look at Proverbs 27 and verse 9. "Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight." How? "By hearty counsel." So good counsel is something that a friend gives one another. And it takes some independence to be able to do that. It takes independence for iron to sharpen iron. If the iron were exactly the same in both pieces of iron, then they wouldn't sharpen each other. But if one piece of iron was harder than the other piece of iron, well, then you can sharpen that iron with the harder piece of iron, right? And so it needs independence. And a person who has hearty counsel for his friend is someone who's going to be independent. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And why is it a good thing? Because it means that our friend truly cares about us. They're not just offering platitudes to us to make us feel good about ourselves. They're actually seeking to improve us through constructive type criticism. And that's what friends do. And it takes somebody who's independent, truly independent, to do that. And a good friend is also going to be independent enough to let us know when we do what is wrong. And to tell us that we need to change when we are in the wrong. True friendship rebukes and chastens. As Jesus says in Revelation 3 and verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent." And the last part of Proverbs 9 and verse 8 says, "Rebuke a wise man and he will love you." And that's because he understands what your intentions are as a friend to make you better, to improve you, to grow you, spiritually speaking. And friends are independent in that regard. But then finally this evening, friends are generous. And as we think about friends, helping friends in our last point tonight, this is probably the heart of friendship and what we think about when we think about being a friend to someone else. When we think about God's character, we think about God giving generously to His friends. And in the New Testament, especially in regard to the spiritual blessings that we have, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. How many blessings has God blessed us with? Every spiritual blessing. God is generous with His blessings. He's generous to His friends in that regard. In Colossians 2 and verse 3, our friendship with Christ is described as a treasure. And what is a treasure? It's great wealth, right? It's not just a little pittance. You wouldn't call, you know, a little pittance a treasure. A treasure is something that's tremendous. It's wonderful. It's overflowing. It's abundant. And it's in Christ that are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And what a wonderful blessing that is. And God is so generous with us in being our friend and giving us these wonderful spiritual blessings. And God gives us the example then on how to be generous with others who are our friends. And so friendship means acting friendly to others in a generous way. In Proverbs 18 and verse 24 we read, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And what is he talking about here? Well, when you're a friend with somebody, you're not going to be an adversary to them, right? I mean, you're not going to try to harm them. You're not going to try to become an enemy with them. You're going to act friendly toward them. What does it mean to act friendly? It means to be generous with what? To be generous with your time, to be generous with your talents, to be generous with your treasure. All of those things are things that friends do with one another. Why? Because they want to be generous. You know, sometimes we get it in our minds that, well, if he gives me something and we're friends, then I should give him something back. Or if I give him something, then he ought to give me something back. That's not real friendship, okay? Because that's expecting things out of other people that we ought not to expect out of them. That's not generosity. It's certainly not generosity. That's just equitable trade is all that is. Well, we can do that with anybody. The U.S. does that with China all the time. You know, or maybe not. Maybe we're more generous with them than they are with us. I don't know. But you know, equitable trade doesn't depend upon friendship. Anybody can make an equitable trade. What does it mean to be a real friend then? It means to be generous. It means to give without expecting anything in return. It means to give lavishly to those who are our friends and lovingly of whatever it is that we're giving, whether it's time, talent, treasure, whatever it might be. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20 and verse 35. And so being a friend means being generous, going above and beyond those normal, those sort of mundane relationships that are in the world where people, you know, give and then expect to be given back to. No, friendship is so much greater than that because we are generous with one another. Consider also then that we help our friends when they are in need, and we are generous in that regard. Friends help their friends, and they don't look for anything in return. Philippians 4 verse 13, Paul says to one, he says, I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. What was Paul asking him to do? To be generous with his friends, to be generous with his time, to be generous with his talent, to help these in the work of the gospel. Because why? He was his true companion. He was his friend. And friends want to help other friends. In 2 Corinthians 8, in verses 1 and 2, we read, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. What is all that saying? It's saying that they were generous. They were giving. They wanted to help their friends in Christ Jesus. And even though they were in poverty, they still gave abundantly. And what a wonderful statement that is of them. But they did it because they understood that friends who are in need are to be dealt with in a generous way. To be a friend then means understanding that friendship is part of God's creation. That friendship is founded on what is good. That friendship is to some degree independent. And that friendship is generous. When we think about all the things that are said about friendship in the Bible, there's so many things. But we want to be friends with one another. And we want to be friends with everyone so that we can help them learn and understand more about the gospel of Christ. And friendship is then something that we ought to practice very frequently in the world today. Are you being a friend of those who are around you in the world? I sure hope that you are. So many people need good friends today. Are you being a friend of Jesus Christ? Remember what Jesus said, "You are my friends if you keep my commandments." And what do we need to do to keep the commandments of Christ so that we can be His friend if we haven't done that? We need to hear the gospel and believe it, repent of our sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Why? Because that's Christ's commandments, you see. And if we want to be a friend with Christ, we've got to do the commandments that He gave us to do. If we haven't been living faithfully, then we haven't been keeping Christ's commandments, and we are jeopardizing our friendship with Christ. Why not make things right tonight if such needs to be done in your life? And you can make that known this evening by coming forward and asking for the prayers of the church. And so whatever your need may be tonight, we invite you to come now while together we stand and while we sing the song of encouragement.